invite you to be seated. So as Megan mentioned during the children's message, the theme of the week is being with Jesus. The importance as a disciple of taking time to be with Jesus. And today the red letters that we are going to read in Scripture, I read some of them already in John chapter 15. I'm going to start reading here in just a little bit. And just to give you some context to what's going on here, when Jesus said these words is important to kind of understand. And these words that Jesus said here in John chapter 15 were said to his disciples in the upper room when he celebrated the Last Supper with his disciples. This is just hours before Jesus was going to be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. These were some of the words that Jesus said to his disciples. And so with that context, let me read to you the first six verses here of John chapter 15. And Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." And that's the first six verses there of John chapter 15. And so Jesus is using this illustration with his disciples. And the everyone that heard this, all the disciples would understand the illustration that Jesus is using with the vine. And Jesus makes it very clear who everybody is in this illustration. Jesus is the true vine, the Father. God the Father is the vine dresser, the pruner, and we are the branches. So right out of the gate, the disciples should have no questions. They know who everybody is in this illustration that Jesus is going to give. And another important thing to always remember about Jesus is he's never going to waste words. He never just says anything for the fun of it. This, by Jesus talking about the vine, is going to connect not only his disciples, but he's connecting himself to the Old Testament. You see, in the Old Testament, describes God's people, the people of Israel, as the vine. There's numerous passages that talk about how God planted his vine, his people, the Israelites, in the promised land, and he nurtured them. They were the vine, his people. And so by Jesus calling himself the true vine, would maybe get the disciples to wonder what's going on here. And I wanted to read one of those passages to you in the book of Isaiah that talks about the first vine. And it's in Isaiah chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. "Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard." The beloved is God the Father here. "My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes." You see what's happening here is he's talking about God, how he planted his people, and they're not growing the fruit that he planted them to grow. Isaiah goes on, "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry." So what's happening here is God is greatly disappointed and sad about this vine that he has planted because they are not yielding the fruit that he has commanded them to yield. They are yielding wild fruit. And so God's chosen people throughout the Old Testament, there's a lot of passages that talk about his people being the vine, and time again, his people fail him. He even calls the people of Israel his son. And so now Jesus talks about how he is the true vine. You see the connection here? The amazing, once again, crimson thread connection between the Old and New Testament. Jesus is now the new true vine of the Father. And apart from this vine, we can do nothing. So as I read through this passage a few times, there were two things that became abundantly clear to me. And what I'm talking about specifically is these first six verses of John chapter 15 that I just read to you about Jesus being the vine, we are the branches. First thing that's crystal clear to me, and if there were screens, this is what would be on the screen. First thing that's very clear, God is in charge and we are not. It's very clear. God is the one who decides who needs the pruning. God is the one who decides whether he's going to prune you or me. God is the one that's in charge. And let's be honest. This can be tough, right? Do we like to give up our freedom to be in charge to anybody? It's tough. But this is what Jesus is telling us. So maybe you can identify with one of these following scenarios here that I read. So one of the things, what's one of the first words that babies learn besides mama or papa? No or mine, right? At least that's the way it was with my kids. They learned Packers very quickly on, early on. But mine was very, very high up there on the list. And so let's see if you can identify with one of these following scenarios. But God, that was my good health. It was mine. I want it back. I don't want the disease. I'm tired of the way I feel. I'm scared of the surgery I have to have. I'm sick of these treatments. It's not fair that it costs this much. God, it was my health. It was mine. But God, I earned that money. Why did the stock market have to do that now? That was my retirement. It was mine. But God, says the man by the grave, she was mine. But God, says the father, staring at the empty room of his 18-year-old daughter. She was just a little girl. And I liked it that way, God. She was mine. But God, says the young adult. This was my future. I planned it. I worked for it. I went to school for it. I've made the promotions. This was all mine. I don't want to change in midstream. And finally, what about this one? But God, says the church member, I gave years of my time to that church. I gave thousands of dollars and more sweat than I could count. Now it's changing. It's not what it was. God, this was my church. I want it back. You know, sometimes being pruned by the vine dresser is tough. And it's not what we want. It's not our plan to be pruned the way that the Father sometimes prunes us. But according to Jesus' illustration, why are we pruned? So that we can bear even more fruit. And I was thinking about doing, you know, an elaborate illustration since we're outside and go up here and chop down a branch and just show you that. If I chop down that branch off that tree, it's going to die, right? I decided not to do that. That was a lot of work. But it's tough when the vine dresser prunes, isn't it? But he's the one that's in charge. He's the one that decides when and if we need to be pruned. And this goes as a church too. Whether Promised Church needs to be pruned so that it can bear more fruit. And here's the second thing that became crystal clear to me in these first six verses of John chapter 15. And that's the importance of staying connected or abiding. The word Jesus uses, abiding in him. Staying connected to the true vine, Jesus. You know, it's so very important for us as disciples of Jesus to stay connected to the vine. Jesus is clear. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is an example of us staying connected, of us being with Jesus. And this is what that first full week in the book that a lot of you are reading is all about being with Jesus. When we worship, we are being with Jesus, staying connected to the vine. When we pray, not only together as a body of Christ, but when we pray together on our own, we are being with Jesus. There's so many more ways that we can simply be still with Jesus. We can read his word. It's a novel concept, but we can read his word on our own or with our family at home. Crack open the Bible. We are being with Jesus. When we honor the Sabbath and we keep it holy, we are being with Jesus. And when we thank God for all the blessings that we do have in our life, we are being with Jesus. And apart from the vine, we can do nothing. I don't even need to tell any of you this, but we take a branch off a tree, it's going to die. And that's what Jesus is telling us, and it's crystal clear. Apart from the true vine, we can do nothing. There's something else that really jumped out to me, and it was in verses 4 and 5, and I didn't notice it the first couple times I read through this. And just to show you again, when Jesus says this, abide in me, and I in you. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him. This is not a one-way street. Who's abiding with us? The true vine. Jesus is with us. He knows that we can do nothing on our own, which is exactly why Jesus came to this earth, because he knew we can't do anything on our own. The Israelites screwed it up time and time again, and we are right there with the Israelites, screwing up time and time again. And so Jesus abiding in us came to this earth and allowed himself to be arrested, allowed himself to be beaten up, to be made fun of, to be spit on. He allowed himself to be flogged. He allowed himself to be adorned with a crown of thorns. And then finally, he allowed himself, this true vine, to be nailed to a cross, the most horrific way to die. And he did it all because he loves each and every one of us that much. And just to read those verses again that I read during the confession time. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. And don't ever forget that it's not just us staying connected to the vine. He is abiding in each and every one of us because he loves us that much. Will you please pray with me?